People of God, welcome home. It is good to be together in worship, so please join me in our call to worship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord is risen indeed. We will praise God in this place and in every place. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In the name of the triune God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer, let us worship God.
The Testament lesson this morning is a responsive reading of Psalm 98. Listen for the word of the Lord as we read it together. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of all nations. He has remembered the house of Israel with steadfast love and faithfulness. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. That the floods clap their hands, that the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Second lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 10, beginning with verse 44. Listen for the word of God. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days.
Our gospel lesson is from the gospel according to John, chapter 15,
verses 9 through 17. Listen for the word of God. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So I will say up front that I realize that preaching a sermon about why worship matters and how it makes a difference to all of you is maybe not the most important audience, given that you seem to know that already. But even still, it's good to be reminded why we do what we do. Now, the truth is, I have been a bit behind catching up on all the news lately. So it was just in the last few days that I saw footage and photos from Barbara Bush's funeral. It was a moving ceremony, and there is an awful lot from that worth remembering. But I know what image will stay with me the most. It's not the photo of former presidents and former first ladies gathered together, political differences set aside. I'm grateful for that photo, and it gives me hope. But what I'll remember the most is the photo of 43 and 41. The caption underneath that photo reads, "Former President George W. Bush wheels former President George H.W. Bush into St. Martin's Episcopal Church in Houston for former First Lady Barbara Bush's funeral." So that caption is accurate. It's just not true. You see, in that moment, the truth is a son wheeled his father into the funeral for their beloved mother and wife. When they entered that sanctuary, they ceased to be defined by their titles and their functions, because in that moment, if you look at their faces, you can see it. They were defined not by who they were or what they had done. They were defined by who they loved. Now, I'm not sure that we've had a chance to talk about this yet, you and I, but taken as a whole, the book of Psalms is one of my favorites. I think it's the most honest book in the entire Bible. Because if you are looking for words to praise God, you will find them in the Psalms. And if you are looking for words to give thanks to God, you will find them in the Psalms. If you are looking for words of tremendous hope, you will find them in the Psalms. And if you are looking for words to curse God, to give God a piece of your mind, to be mad or heartbroken or just downright exhausted and whiny, you will find those words in the book of Psalms too. This book somehow captures the full range of human emotion, and by showing up in Scripture, by being recorded and remembered in a book that we call holy, I think that gives us permission to feel that full range of human emotion and to let it out. It's okay, the Psalms tell us, if you need to rant and rave and rage, because God can handle it. And it's because these Psalms make space for us when we're at our worst that I can take more seriously what they have to say when they remind us how to be our best. Praise God, Psalm 98 says, sing to the Lord, make a joyful noise, break forth into song, find your trumpet, sound your horn, raise your voices, clap your hands. In other words, worship. Worship because the Lord has done marvelous things, because his righteousness and holiness, they have carried the day before and they will carry the day again. Worship because the Lord brings steadfast love and faithfulness. Worship because the Lord is coming, and when he comes, he will bring justice and goodness and mercy to all people. All people and all the earth. And not for nothing. Biblical historians tell us that this psalm is part of a collection that was created to be used in corporate worship. So these words come from worship. They instruct us to worship, and they remind us why we worship. One of my very best teachers was my ethics professor, the Reverend Dr. Katie Geneva Cannon. Dr. Cannon was the first African-American woman ordained in the Presbyterian Church, and she has never been one to mince words. So one day she entered our classroom and she said, "Why do we worship?" She said, "Does God need our worship? Will God cease to be God if we sleep in on Sunday? Do God's ego and ability depend on our singing and praying?" So what do you think? Why do we worship? What difference does it make if God is going to be God no matter what we do? Because, of course, to assert the opposite, that God does need our worship, well, that statement is a theological mess, because to say that is to say we believe we are more powerful than God. So here's what I can tell you, and it's just my understanding of things, but the honest truth is that for me, worship matters because it is here in this time and this place each week with all of you that I become convinced again and again that God's promises really are true. Now again, I'm not saying that our worship makes God's promises true. I'm saying our worship helps me believe they are true. And so in that sense, I suppose that worship is more for me, more for us, than it is for God. Now, I believe that worship matters deeply to God because worship, well, that's where we practice living the way God longs for us to live. So here's something of what I mean by this. Even my casual glance at the news in the past 48 hours has wearied my soul. Two Native American young men on a tour at Colorado State University, they were removed because a woman on the same tour got nervous and she called the police. She was in the wrong, but these young men suffered the consequences. And more immigrants who reside in this country legally are being stripped of their temporary protected status, and more families are being separated from their children at the borders of this country. And the Nobel Prize for Literature, it won't be given out this year. It won't be given out because the Swedish Academy is caught up in what it is referring to a crisis of confidence following a hailstorm of accusations, including but not limited to sexual misconduct. And just the other day, walking down 75th Street, I overheard a young woman crying on the phone because her boyfriend broke up with her by text message saying, "Have a nice life, but it won't be with me." Now that last one may not be quite as grievous as the others, but it reiterates the exact same point. All too often, we humans do not treat each other very well. And it's in the midst of those moments that it's harder to believe in the promises of God. It is harder to believe that there will be a day when all of this will be made right, because we are swimming in evidence to the contrary. That is why I need worship. Because a central point of worship is this: because God is God of all people, because God is God of all creation, because, as the psalmist put it, all the ends of the earth have seen the victory of God. When we come together to worship God, we pray for, and we care for, and we care about all people. And we come in here week after week to practice doing exactly that. Think about what we do here. We practice saying, "I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me." We practice sharing peace with one another, literally wishing that the peace of Christ would be with everyone who crosses our path. We practice listening, and we practice praying. We practice lifting our voices together in shared song and common creed, declaring that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. We practice sharing a meal, allowing ourselves to be fed, and taking the time to feed others. We practice reminding one another that we are children of God and nothing can change that. We practice giving away some of what we have, and we practice saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." All of worship is practicing the way God wishes for us to live. It's treating one another the way God wishes for us to treat one another. So when we come together every week, we are reminded who God is and how God loves and what God wants for us. We are drawn into the presence of something and someone so much bigger than just ourselves. We are drawn into the embrace of the God who makes known victory, who remembers with steadfast love and faithfulness all the ends of the earth, who says, "I am coming again, and I will make everything right." So we practice. We practice acting not as if we have all the answers to all that is wrong, but acting as if we understand how much these things matter to God, and therefore how much they need to matter to us. In this space each week, we practice loving God and loving like God. I suppose that means, though, that worship is less about what we get out of it and more about what we put into it. And we do it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, because eventually the muscle memory of our hearts is going to kick in, and we will love that way on Monday and Tuesday and every other day too, right up until the arrival of God's promised day. They were just father and son. They had both been president once, both held the most powerful office in the world. But in that moment, when they entered that sanctuary, they weren't defined by who they were or what they had or had not accomplished. They were defined by who they loved.
We all need a place like that, don't we? It is my prayer and my fervent hope that we will be like that every time we gather. Because if we can be like that in here, it will make a difference in here, which means it's only a matter of time before it makes a difference out there. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
What I can tell you, the sound of you singing that hymn, I am going to take it into my week, and it is going to change the way I live my week, because it was beautiful. So friends, remember this. It was the love of God that brought you into this place, and it is now that same love that sends you out into a world that is beautiful yet broken. It is a world that needs the gift that only you can provide. And it is eager to hear your good news. But before you go, may joy and nothing less follow you all the days of your life. May you be blessed and may you be a blessing. And may you rest well today, secure in the knowledge that the Lord of Light, who has brought you this far already, will lead you and countless others all the way home.